Today we are observing the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. For years, CWH has chosen a country or nation each week where our brothers and sisters in Christ are enduring significant hard times as they worship God and faithfully witness for Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 5:10 through 12, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So today, we send all those in persecuted nations our love and prayers. Let me take some time now to pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you protect, strengthen, and encourage born-again believers all over the world that are being persecuted because of their willingness to follow you and share the good news of the gospel. We pray for those that are in prisons in hard countries for preaching the gospel and not willing to denounce their faith in you. Father, for those that have been persecuted unto death, that are now wearing a martyr's crown, we pray for their families and loved ones, that you would comfort them as you are the great comforter and have promised to never leave us or forsake us. May they take comfort in the beautiful passage in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to help God's people, comfort them, pray for them, and serve them. Dad reminds us today in his message, when the storm clouds roll, that there will be trials in life, even when we are following and obeying Jesus. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And this is a very, very special day, because today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And as you know, the Christian Worship Hour prays for the persecuted church all year long. We have a list of 50 places, and we go down that list. And every week we pray for one part of the world where our brothers and sisters are being persecuted. And so now we're praying for everybody, the whole church, and all over the world we're praying for these brothers and sisters who are under the gun, who are having a tough time. But it's all to the glory of God. So our sermon today, just for the persecuted church. But before that, let me give us some of the letters that we have. I always love these letters, and people say that they like them. And so we'll just use some of them. The first one I want to look at is Lowry City, Missouri. And they said, "I would love to have two Heart of a Shepherd videos. I don't have much money, but soon, as I do, I'll send an offering." And then this is what they said. "I'll give one to a lady who is very lonely." Now, see, this film is an hour film, and it's a story of and how that I came to know the Lord when I was 10 years old. And then I went to the ministry, and I've been at it now in 75 years, in the 75th year. And so the whole story is about Jesus and coming to Jesus, accepting Jesus, and how he's our friend and how he loves us and how he helps us. And here's this lady, she's lonely. And she'll look at that film and she says, "No, I'm not alone. I have a whole host of friends that are praying for me, and I have Jesus." Oh, there's just so many wonderful things. And then it's all really good because it helps people to open their heart to Jesus. Even the children can understand it. So that's our film that we put out, and here's putting it to use. Here's Aurora, Minnesota. And this lady says, "I get my Bible ready, a pad of paper and a pen to take notes. I do fix a cup of tea, but have no time for a nap. Just thought I'd throw that in. Love you all. You are my church home." And so I just think that's great, because we have people, and that a lot of them, they'll get all dressed up and they have their Bible and they read their Bible verses with us. And sometimes they have their neighbors come in, the next door neighbors, or their friends come in. They have a little church group there, and then they pray for the Christian worship hour, that as I'm preaching and teaching, that people will come to know Jesus, and others will be helped and strengthened and encouraged. And some of the downhearted people that drifted away, they know that they could come back, and today they'll come back and renew their fellowship with Jesus, not renew their salvation, because if you're saved, you're always saved, but you break that fellowship, see, and you can come back to Jesus like a child. When a child goes off into sin, he's still my child, he's still my son or my daughter, but the fellowship is broken, and then the fellowship comes back. Doesn't have a thing to do with our salvation. If you've accepted Jesus, you are saved, period. Mark it down. Take it to the bank. Whatever you want to do with it. Here's Burley, Idaho. I'm a grandma. I live in a senior complex. I want to show my friends the path to Jesus, but I'm having trouble finding the right words. I think Heart of a Shepherd is just what I need. She's got it exactly right. Maybe you have some friends and you love those friends, and it's hard for you to sit down and say, now, do you know Jesus, or do you want to accept Jesus? You don't know how to do it, and you're nervous about it. You show them this film, and it'll tell them how Jesus loves them and wants them to come to him and find everlasting life. And we have people that are saved watching this film with a message, the glorious message of the gospel. And then let's see, one more. Billings, Montana. I don't have a lot of money. I'll try to send some more later. I'd like to send your Heart of a Shepherd to my 5 children. Please send them to me, and I'll forward them. My prayer for them is Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. I'm praying they will watch your film and be saved. That's what we're praying all the time. And then she says Ezekiel 36 verses 26 and 27. And this is how they read. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. That's exactly what we're doing. And she has 5 children, and she wants them not to have a hard heart, but to have a soft heart for Jesus. And when Jesus comes into our heart, we ask him, dear Jesus, please come into my heart. He says, I stand at the door and knock. We ask him, come in. And then we trust him, and he saves us. And we have that new heart, a heart for Jesus. So I'm going to tell you how to get all these things and write in. You get your pencil and paper, and at the close of the service, I'll tell you about that. But let's look at this sermon that we've got for us here. And this is for the persecuted church, and it's entitled, When the Storm Clouds Roll. When the Storm Clouds Roll. And our text is taken from St. John's Gospel. And Jesus had said in this story, in this passage, Jesus had fed the 5,000. And then Jesus commands his disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And then Jesus dismisses the crowds, and Jesus goes up to a mountain to pray. And that's in John. Now Matthew writes about it, and Matthew he's telling about the same thing, Matthew 14:22. And Matthew says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And so the disciples were obedient to Jesus, and they moved out, and they got in their little boat, and they moved out, and they start rowing across the Sea of Galilee. And they get out in their ways, and all of a sudden a storm arises. And we're told that I've seen the Sea of Galilee as surrounded by mountains. And then there's two mountains a little apart, and it's like a funnel. and sometimes a huge wind will come down that funnel, and it'll just hit that little lake, and it's a stormy, be an awful storm. And so the quiet, peaceful voyage becomes a nightmare. There's a fierce storm, and they're in the middle of it. And you know something, dear friends? That happens so often in life. We begin the day with peace and tranquility, but before evening, the storm is upon us, and we're in the middle of it. That beautiful morning's day started, but that's the day we lose our job, or we're diagnosed with cancer, or a spouse says they're calling it quits, or maybe the police called and the children are in jail, or they got the children. I don't know. You've had those days, and it happens so often in life, and that's why we don't know what a day will bring forth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, God says. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And so that's why we need to go to the God of prayer. Every morning we ought to pray, have time of prayer. That's my time. It's in the morning. Then I'm set for all day for whatever happens. And that's why we need to stay close to Jesus. And we stay close to Jesus. Not that the storm won't come, but we stay close to Jesus. So when the storm comes, we're there with him, close to him. Friend, remember this. Mark it down. This story teaches us that obeying Jesus may put us in the midst of the storm. Just because we're in a storm doesn't mean we're out of the will of God. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye may know that ye might have peace." In this world, he said, you'll have tribulation. Every one of us. And we're going to have tribulation. There's going to be storms of life. But he says, I have overcome the world. And so just put your faith in Jesus and just trust him. And we're all going to have those storms. But we can make it easy with the Lord Jesus. We'll never go down. So listen to this, friends. We can be in the will of God and still have storms. Sometimes people say, oh, if you're having trouble, you've been a bad sinner. That's what they told Job, you know. They didn't know what they were talking about. Just talk. That's what a lot of people do. They talk. They don't think. They just talk, see. And so we can be in the center of God's will and be in the storm because this wonderful Jesus says, I want you to go to the other side. He sent them into the storm. He sent the storm. And because they were going to be faithful to him. Just because you have a storm doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. Look at this great faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. It's the Faith Hall of Fame. It lists people of tremendous faith, people that serve us as our examples. And so just look at this chapter, for instance, this glorious chapter as it tells about these people had great faith. And it says, by faith Enoch was translated, he should not see death. By faith Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. By faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age. By faith Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. By faith, Israel passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, Rahab did not perish, but with the unbelievers of Jericho. And then it was by faith that they subdued kingdoms. Then by faith, they wrought righteousness. By faith, they obtained promises. By faith, they stopped the mouths of lions. By faith, they quenched the violence of fire. By faith, they escaped the edge of the sword. By faith, the women received dead raised back to life again. How absolutely beautiful and wonderful and praise God. People of faith, trusting God and being blessed. But hold on a minute, Buster. We're not done with this chapter. We just read the first 35 verses. Now let's start with verse 36. And remember, this is the same Bible. It's the same book. It's the same chapter. It's the same people. It's the same God. It's the same faith. It's the same time. It's the same breath. Listen to what it reads. Verse 36, they were tortured. They were mocked. They were scourged. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They lived in caves. Some were destitute. Some were afflicted. Some were tormented. Now then, here the people who love the Lord God unto their death. Here are the great people of God, and they're in the middle of the storm. And let me pause for a minute on this health, wealth, and health problem that they're teaching. They say if you do just the right things, you'll be rich and you'll be healthy. And that's a lie as if there ever was one. Because here's a proof. They're the great people of God, and they're having their troubles and the trials. The answer to this whole thing is that sometimes God leads us in the sunshine and sometimes he leads us in the storm. It's the same God. God, for instance, God sees it and he does what is best and he does what is right. Here's St. Peter's in prison and he's set free. And here's St. Paul, he's in prison and he's beheaded. And what it teaches us is let God be God. Put things in his hands, and he'll do all things right. Faith or no faith, we're going to have storms of this life. Sometimes it comes to us as individuals, and sometimes it comes to us as a church. And for instance, consider the church at Smyrna. It says, I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which they say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogues of Satan. For none of these things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life, the martyr's crown. We're preaching to some of these people that are watching, our brothers and sisters watching and listening right now, and they're going to wear the martyr's crown because they were true for the Lord unto their death. And we're sending word to encourage you and challenge and help you to stand true. Here's the first century church. They have no more come into existence but that the devil fights, and that church couldn't have been more than 50 years old, and the devil is after them. But you don't have to go back 2,000 years. Just go back 3 years to August the 15th, 2015, to a little village in India. There's a late night knock on Pastor Harmon and his wife Ashna's door. They open the door and they're faced with a band of radical Hindus. 4 times before, these guerrillas had been there and warned the pastor to stop sharing the gospel with the Hindus in the village. But this time it was different. Over 20 radical Hindus were there with AK-47 rifles and had murder in their eyes. And they took Pastor Harmon into the woods nearby and shot him to death. Ashna said her husband always gave the same reply when asked to leave the Christian faith and stop sharing the gospel. He told them, I'm not going to leave my Jesus. I have a faith in him. He is the real God, so I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to come back off my faith. Whatever you want to do to me, you can kill me. I'm not going to leave my faith. And so the family buried their beloved son, their father, their husband, their brother, saying goodbye. And all this man wanted to do, he wanted to love people like Jesus loved people. And he gave his life. Ashna still cries at the thought of her husband's death three years ago. Although she knows he is where he is, she remains devastated that he is not with her. I'm happy that my husband was a good man and he died for Christ, she said, sobbing. He is in heaven. I'm happy with that. I cannot lose the faith. I am still faithful. God forgive them. I forgive the person who did all of this. the persecuted church is with us today, right now. It well could very well be that while we're preaching this very message, some of our brothers and sisters are giving their lives for the Lord. There are literally thousands upon thousands giving their life for the Lord, and could very well be that is happening right now. And so the Christian Worship Hour prays for the persecuted church and prays to God to bless and to help them. So Hebrews 11 spells it out. The church is going to have troubles and trials. There are going to be storms. But let me tell you something. The storms aren't always bad. They're not always bad. Because they can make us grow. They can strengthen our faith. They can keep us humble. They can draw us together. They can bring us closer to God. They teach us valuable lessons of life. They allow us to bring glory to God. No, storms are not bad at all of that time. So the disciples are in the storm, big time, just like the church is in the storm, a big time and great sorrow. But they are true, and these disciples are having this storm, and they never dreamed of turning back. They kept on rowing into that storm. Why, they could have turned their little boat around, and with the storm at their back, they could be back to the shore before you could say bulrushes. But no, sir, that never crossed their mind. Jesus said, row over to the other side. That's all they heard. That's all they understood. That was the only direction they had on their compass, was to go where Jesus told them to go. And all hell can beat upon them, but they will never, ever turn back. So that is the kind of followers God needs today. Dear friend of mine, never give up. Never stop rowing. The storm may be fierce, but row on, carry on. Don't let anything stop you. Do not let the storm frighten you or deter you. Row on and on. Look at the disciples. All they could do was row or turn back. But they were better stock than that. And they rowed on. It looked hopeless. It looked as though they would not win. It looked as though they're going to go down and all would be lost. But they stayed at their post. And they remained obedient to the master and kept rowing. And where is Jesus all of this time? The last they'd seen him, he was going up the mountain to pray. And as far as they knew, he was still there. And Jesus isn't anywhere to be seen. They don't know anything about, they don't know where Jesus is. And then just as they had abandoned all hope, they see them cross the storm clouds and the crashing waves, somebody walking on the water. And they can assume only one thing. They had never, ever seen anybody walk on water. And so far they think that maybe this must be a spook. It must be a ghost. It must be some kind of apparition. But they have been afraid of the storm. But now they were afraid of whatever this was, walking on the water. And then all of a sudden Jesus calls out, "It is I, be not afraid." Isn't that just like Jesus? He puts their hearts to rest. He doesn't want them to see them shaking in their boots. He wants them just to trust him and love him. Jesus doesn't want any of his people to be afraid. He is constantly telling us, be not afraid. He is telling us, fear not, I am with you. He is saying, perfect love casteth out fear. Trust in him completely. And God will always give us peace at heart. We may have to trust him fully, but we can learn to lean on Jesus. Just remember, Jesus is always there, even though you may not see him. You may not feel him. You may not touch him. You may not understand him, but Jesus Christ is there, and he always keeps his word. So, dear friend, take heart. Move on. Shine for Jesus. Be bright light for Jesus. So what do we take from all of this? Well, there are multitudes that follow Jesus even unto death all over the world. We're seeing it happening right now. We also see this, if they have answered the call that he gave. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me, Luke 9:23. When you take up your cross, you're taking up death. St. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. He'd given himself to the Lord, and that's what God wants us to do. But they have asked Jesus to come into their heart, and you never will be able to face that storm unless you have Jesus. And you can ask him right now and say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I'm sorry for my sins, but I ask you to come into my heart. I'm in the storms, or maybe I don't just know no storms, but I just want you in my heart. Please come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll turn from my sins, and I'll follow you, and I'll walk with you. And thank you, Jesus. Or maybe you're drifted away. You used to be with the Lord. You used to walk with Jesus. You got into sin. You drifted away. And so you just can say, come back to Jesus now. His arms will be wide open for you. He wants you to come. And then you can hear him. And then you can think also from this story. We can see this declaration of Pastor Harmon. There they came to threaten him with death. They had murder in their eyes, and he looked them in their eyes, and he loved them, and he loved Jesus. And then he declares, and we can hear him say, I'm not going to leave my Jesus. I have a faith in him. He's the real God, and I'm not going to leave him. I'm not going to back off from my faith. And whatever you want to do to me, you can kill me. I'm not going to leave my faith. That's where the persecuted church stands today. That's happening today. And there, by the grace of God, may all of us also be willing to stand. That's the lessons we can take. Dear Jesus, we thank you for these brothers and sisters and how they stand for you. Help us to be willing to do the same thing and never give up and never turn back. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. So if you accept the Jesus, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. And every time we close this service, we always say, remember, God loves you. He gave his son for you. Remember that the Christian Worship Hour loves you. And I know I love you. And I'm telling you, I've told you the best way I possibly can. And it has not been all that fancy, but the Word of God is there. And you open your heart to Jesus, and you trust in Jesus, and lean on him, and rejoice in him. And then, Lord willing, we'll all get together next week, and we'll gather around the throne of God. Praise God. Bless his name. In Jesus' name, amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.